Hi, thank you for joining us this morning. My guest in studio is Abigail Moore. She is the CEO of the San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Awareness. April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and we're going to talk about alcohol and drug in San Antonio. What's been going on? I started chatting with Abigail before the program, and oh my gosh, some of her information will just stun you because it's just it's shocking what what is going on in our community and probably all the communities around the country, maybe even around the world, with alcohol and drug usage and misuse. So I want to thank you for joining us. Why is April Alcohol Awareness Month, and what are you doing?
So Alcohol Awareness Month is observed nationally, and it is to acknowledge the adverse effects caused by alcohol and the impact to someone's health and well-being. Just because it's a legal drug, it is still a very dangerous drug. And we are here to create awareness on safety tips for adults, safety tips for young people as well.
And so in San Antonio, while it is Alcohol Awareness Month, it's also Fiesta Month. Is Fiesta a big concern?
It is for us. We work with the City of San Antonio Police Department, EMS, other first responders, and we track the data on which months there are more DWIs, where there is more arrest, where there is more citations for underage drinking. And so we see a spike in this month. We also see a spike in July. We also see a spike in September. And of course, around the Christmas holidays and New Year's. But those are the months where you see spikes. And then there's also times of the day where you see spikes. For these are the arrest rates. So of course, from midnight to 4 a.m. are big spikes. And so those are dangerous times to be on the highways. Public safety is so important. And so, we follow the data.
Mm-hmm. What are the big problems in San Antonio as far as alcohol and drugs? I mean, you see trends, you see things going on. And I say that asking about fentanyl.
Yes. Well, fentanyl, we'll talk about those numbers in a couple minutes, but alcohol is the highest, most used substance in the United States. That includes Texas and in San Antonio. So there's no other drug that's used more than alcohol in Bexar County. After alcohol, we see stimulants, which is the cocaine and the methamphetamine. That is the second most used drug in this community. Now we hear more deaths or about fentanyl overdoses, but based on the data from the coroner's office, overdose deaths that happened with cocaine and methamphetamines are even higher than the ones with fentanyl. Now, fentanyl is still a big issue. Mm-hmm. Our friends at the Drug Traffic Administration office told us that out of every pill that is confiscated by our South Texas, every pill that's confiscated, 7 out of 10 have a fatal dose of fentanyl. And these pills don't look like somebody made them in their backyard. They look professionally made. They look like a Vicodin, an Oxycontin, medication that people would get at a pharmacy. And so they think, oh, I'm buying it off the black market, but it's still prescriptions that are being made by companies that can do this thing, like a pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. But no, they're called pill mills, and they have very sophisticated systems that they make them look just like that Oxycontin, just like that Vicodin.
And so it comes across the border, and it's on the black market, and people buy it thinking they're getting what is a prescription drug, but it's from a pill mill, and it's got
high levels, fatal levels of fentanyl.
And we've seen a lot of tragedies associated with fentanyl and the message one pill can kill directed at young people, because what's going on with young people?
Yes. Young people and adults both are just at risk as well. But unfortunately, older adults have the access to go to a doctor, a pharmacist, and pick up a prescription. But young people, it's the euphoria, the the novelty of trying something new and different. And so they often make impulsive decisions. Their brains are still being formed and developed. So they get these things from their friends.
Mm-hmm. And what age do children start experimenting, start using substances?
In Bexar County, the average age of first use for alcohol, marijuana, and cigarettes is 12.5, 12 years old.
12 and a half. And so what grade is that? About
seventh grade.
Seventh grade. So middle. How are they getting access to it? What's going on? I know middle school's rough. It can be a tumultuous. It's a tough time for kids.
So we've done research, conducted surveys in our county, and discovered that young people, their access to drugs and alcohol is from an adult, whether it's a family member, a friend, an older sibling, but their access is by others around them.
So someone gave it to them or someone had it and they were able to access it?
Yes, that's how. They don't go with a fake ID to go buy alcohol. I mean, that does happen, but it's very small, the percentage that get alcohol that way. So it's provided to them by someone else. Mm-hmm. It's called social host. And so people host or give access to young people.
And what about parents who have parties and allow kids to use alcohol? Is that a problem? Especially, we're coming into graduation time, summer.
So we do hear of that where adults that either have a child or a younger sibling and they host parties for young people. Like we said earlier, the adolescent brain doesn't finish developing until age 26 to 27. And so introducing a chemical to the brain increases their risk of alcohol disorder by 5 times. Mm-hmm. Because their brains are still being developed. So they are getting access to it by those other adults. So they're either hosting parties for them and purchasing it for them. And it's putting them at risk. A lot of fatalities, drinking and driving. There are sexual assaults, violence, accidents, so many things that are impacting our young people, and adults need to take responsibility for that. Our city of San Antonio passed a social host ordinance that anybody that provides alcohol to a minor or the environment for the alcohol to be consumed is held responsible. They'll receive a citation. It is a Class C misdemeanor, and they will receive a fine for that. But it is holding adults responsible for the consumption. Now, if there is a fatality or an accident, often the police department and the investigation that is looking into that, if an adult is determined to having provided this alcohol, they can be held responsible up to a felony in providing that environment, providing the alcohol to young people under the age of 21.
So what do y'all do at the San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Awareness? What area do you cover?
About 65% of our work is in prevention. How do we prevent substance use disorders in the first place? So we're in 13 school districts in Bexar County and the surrounding counties. And so we use evidence-based curriculum with kids all the way from first grade to 12th grade. And these curriculums teach kids life skills, refusal skills, communication skills, how to deal with bullying, how to deal with their emotions, how to ask for help. So when we strengthen young people in all of these areas, and kids feel connected to their school, kids feel safe, kids have adults that care about them and are involved in their lives, those are all protective factors. Those are the things that protect them. So when kids are in sports, kids are active in their church or in their community, the more kids are looking at goals, at the future, the less likely they are to begin early onset misuse of substances. So the opposite of that are the risk factors. The access to the alcohol. They don't live in safe environments. There are communities where there's a lot of alcohol density, places where alcohol is sold, where they can have access to it by other adults. They don't feel safe. They don't have adults that are connected to them, or they don't feel like they belong in their school and feel connection there. So those are all risk factors. We work with the community to increase the things that protect them, the protective factors, and we work with the community to reduce the risk factors. That is true prevention. Mm-hmm. Back in the 80s, it was say no to drugs, or this is your brain on drugs. That is not prevention. That is not effective. Looking at the things that protect them, and looking at the things that create bigger risk. How do we reduce those things that are risky, and how do we increase the protective factors? And that is true prevention. The other 35% of our work as a local nonprofit that has been around for 67 years, we do recovery support services. So we utilize recovery coaches. These are people in long-term recovery that have been successful at their recovery from substance use disorder and or mental health related issues. And so they provide peer-to-peer mentoring to their peers, navigating the system. Like, do they need treatment? Do they need detox? Are they just looking for a place that, a workplace that is drug prevention friendly, that supports recovery, that might let them, instead of lunch, they could go to a recovery meeting? So recovery coaches do that with individuals, and those services are free of charge. We have those funded through grants from the state of Texas, the federal grants, and also Be Well Texas, which is the University Health Science Center. And through these grants, we're able to help individuals navigate their recovery, support them, be there for them. And then we provide fun, engaging things to do. So instead of painting with a twist with alcohol, it's painting with a twist of recovery. And so we engage folks to embrace fun and wellness and family without substances.
Is there such a you know, a mindset in the country with a lot of people, you can't have fun without alcohol?
Yeah. And so we encourage and we provide and promote wellness, not only for mental health and substance use, but for their whole family, for the community. It reduces the public safety issues that arise with drinking and driving. So we promote having fun, being able to release those natural endorphins in our brain, that when you laugh a lot or when you're doing something that's really fun, or that you accomplished a goal, that you were able to, you know, graduate and cross the stage in college. Those things all reduce those endorphins from our brain. Those are the feel-good chemicals. We don't need to use chemicals to release those chemicals that already exist in our brain.
Uh-huh. And you can just have a good time.
Yes.
And
yes.
And the euphoria comes from that.
Yes. So the more we practice those things, the more it jogs that muscle in order to be able to release those. Now, when a person struggles with a substance use disorder, it's going to take a while for their brain to go back to that homeostasis level of being able to release those natural endorphins naturally by themselves.
Because they forced them with chemicals.
Mm-hmm. They forced them with chemicals. And so it does happen. People can't heal and recover. And so we encourage them to reach out to our office if they want to talk to a recovery coach, if they want to get into recovery. So we do screening for drug and alcohol use disorders. And in one of our screenings, we have four questions that we use. And I want to ask the audience,
sure,
if it's okay, these
sure.
four questions.
Sure.
If you can answer yes, truthfully, be honest with yourself. If you can answer yes to one of these four questions, you need to call us, because there's a probability that you might be struggling with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So question number one, have you ever felt the need to cut down? And maybe you were unsuccessful at cutting down. So you're like, no, I'm not going to drink, you know, the 4 days out of the week, I'm only going to drink two, or I'm not going to drink that much, I'm only going to drink this much. And you have been unsuccessful. Question number one, if you can say that you have felt like cutting down. Question number two, you feel annoyed by people complaining about your drinking. So it could be coworkers, it could be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could be, you know, a good friend of like, dude, you acted so inappropriately last night and you shouldn't drink this much. If somebody has complained about your drinking, if you can say yes to that. Question number three, do you feel guilty about your drinking or behavior that you participated in after your drinking? That's question number three. Question number four, do you drink more to get the same buzz or effect? And that's tolerance, that's needing more of that same alcohol to get the feeling. And if you could answer yes to any one of those questions, I encourage you to call our office, speak to a recovery coach confidentially, and look at what your options are for recovery. And these are all for adults. These are people that are over the age of 21. For young people, we have some tips. Parents, set clear expectations. In this family, we will not drink and drive. In this family, you will not consume alcohol under the age of 21. In this family, substances will not, you will not share prescriptions with other people. You will not take things from other people. So setting clear expectations for young people. This can be a parent, this can be a coach, this can be a pastor. These are folks that are very influential in the lives of young people. And so setting clear expectations. Number two is giving them factual data. Don't say you're going to die tomorrow if you do this, or the one time you try a pill, it could kill you, because we are not giving factual data to young people, and kids are smart. And so, see, nothing happened to me. So then I'll continue to use. We need to give them factual information. And if you want factual information, contact our office and speak to one of our prevention specialists, people that work with young people. Third, provide alternatives that they can have already in their refusal skills kit, in their toolkit. So how do they say no when it's around or when they go to a party and there's alcohol? How do they get out of that situation? They got to be able to call you. They got to be able to call somebody. They got to be able to say, hey, my mom randomly drug tests me because she insures my car and she wants to make sure that I don't consume and that I'm making good choices. I get randomly drug tested by my parents, or I get randomly drug tested by the coach if they're in some kind of sport. So being able to give young people a tool in their toolkit for them to say no. And then provide alcohol-free fun activities for young people, whether it's a swimming party, whether it's an all-night, you know, event with lots of games, or, you know, what is it called? Paintball and different things like that. Young people, they love fun. They love to have fun. They like to be with other young people. And so let's create those environments where it's safe and it's an alcohol-free activity for them. So those are four tips on keeping our young people safe.
Our guest this morning is Abigail Moore. She is the CEO of the San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Awareness. April is Alcohol Awareness Month. Do you have kids, Abigail?
Yes, I do. I have three grown daughters. And then after an empty nest, I ended up having a son who's 10 right now. But I practice those skills, those prevention tips with my daughters when they were in high school, and it really helped them. I mean, of course, some of their friends called me the probation mom, you know, your probation officer mom, but my girls make good choices. And they had lots of times where there were risky situations and they were put in situations. I recall my daughter calling me from college and saying, Mom, can you tell my friend that if we're around alcohol, we can get an MIP, which is a minor in possession of alcohol, and we might lose our scholarship. She was on scholarship for track. And so just being able to provide them factual information.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said, okay, 12 and a half is usually the first encounter.
Yes.
And so you knew that. And when your children were in middle school, fifth grade, sixth grade, what did you start doing? Or did you even start earlier?
Way earlier. So we've got to talk to our kids. Kids need prevention tools by the time they're in first and second grade. Because, for example, my 10-year-old, I tell him, do not take anything from somebody else that's not a parent or a family member that you trust. Do not take candy. Do not take a drink. There was an incident about 4 weeks ago at a middle school here where a mom put something in a beverage of a child that was bullying her child, and that child ended up in the hospital. So we got to be able to be careful with our kids. There was another incident during the COVID pandemic that there was food given away. I think it was one of the shelters or a food bank or somebody. I'm not going to say who, but they were giving away free groceries. And in those boxes of free groceries, they looked like candies, but they were gummies that had THC in it. And that child ended up being poisoned and had to go to the hospital. So we have to be very careful. My son, who's 10, has known refusal skills, has been aware of his surroundings since he was 7 and 8 years old. Mm-hmm. But we've got to train our kids really, really young, because mm-hmm. there's so much out there. When somebody says, take this if your head hurts, or take that, no, unless it's given to you by one of your parents, do not take it. Mm-hmm. And we tell young people right now, there's so much fentanyl. 70% of what's out there that people think are just pills for like Oxycontin or Vicodin that are in the black market, 70% of them have a fatal dose of fentanyl. That means you will die if you take one pill. So we need to constantly be communicating with our young people and even our adults. We tell grandparents, store and lock up your meds. Don't leave them accessible to everybody, especially if they're controlled substances or opioids or pain, you know, management medication. Lock them up. Know where you have them. So we could all be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. Parents, grandparents, communities. We can all make a difference in the lives of not only young people, but adults.
Yeah, we just have to be vigilant. We think about the things. So by the time your kids got to middle school, they were ready for what's coming, because there's a lot of peer pressure on kids.
A lot of peer pressure. And so we've gotten several calls from middle schools where kids take things to school, whether it's their parents' prescription or their alcohol, and they try to share it with a friend. They want to be cool. When they go to sleepovers. Your child needs to know not to take somebody else's medication. Your child needs to know to not take a liquid or a beverage that it's offered by somebody that they don't know.
Mm-hmm. And in your purse, you carry something that you have available to everybody.
Yes. So naloxone, which is the medication that reverses an opioid overdose. Narcan or naloxone, people call it, you know, either. And now you can purchase it over the counter at your local pharmacy, and you don't need a prescription, and it is what reverses an overdose. And so we encourage people to give us a call. You can buy it, you know, it'll cost you about $50 for a twin pack, mm-hmm. or you could call our office and come and pick up a twin kit at no cost to you through funding that we receive from the state. But we tell people, try to carry that with you. You never know whose life you can save. That should be part of your first aid kit, mm-hmm. At home or, you know, on your person that you are able to use. So a person that is at risk for an overdose or is in an overdose episode, they look like they're passed out, like they're incoherent. They're not answering, you know, when you're calling them, their lips start turning a little bit blue, they're getting pale, and they look like they're lethargic of like heavy amounts of alcohol use, mm-hmm. is what an opioid overdose looks like. And so when somebody sprays a naloxone up their nose, it can save their life until you call 911 and get other first responders there. So we time is of essence. We've got to save people's lives. And we encourage people to reach out to us or go to morenarcanplease.com, and you can get information. You can get free Narcan and have it delivered to your house as well. But these are tools that we can use to save lives for people in our community.
And you kind of answered my question. I was going to ask, how do you know what somebody took? Because, you know, in the movies and TV, the pill bottles right next to them.
Right. And you don't see that now. But when they, you know, they're unconscious, they're, you know, turning a little blue in the lips and pale in the face, use Narcan naloxone. It will not harm them if it is not a fentanyl overdose. You still have to call 911. But if it is a fentanyl overdose, you just saved a life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to use a second dose because these pills that are out there, the black market pills, are heavy doses of fentanyl in them.
So you need the second dose.
Yes.
The second dose.
Yes. But we tell, you know, have your whoever's a standby person to call 911 right away. Mm-hmm. And so often people don't want to call because they think there might be a legal issue. I might get in trouble.
Right.
No, there's good Samaritan laws that protect us. But we need to be good stewards and protect people around us and save people's lives.
Mm-hmm. And so here, we're almost out of time. I want to talk about the biggest drug that is misused in America is alcohol.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't think of it that way because it is legal. And so, and not just during Fiesta, but any time of year, we've got people out drinking and driving. What are the consequences of drinking and driving?
Well, fatalities, accidents, getting arrested, ended up on probation. There's a huge cost with that, you know, but the loss of life is the most concerning to all of us here at the Council on Alcohol and Drug Awareness. So we want people to make healthy choices and not consume and drive who are adults. We want minors to not consume alcohol, but we're losing 500 adults in the United States every day because of alcohol excessive use, whether it's a DWI fatality, cirrhosis of the liver, other cancers that are caused by alcohol, so many other things that alcohol, 500 people die every day.
Every day in the United States, 500 people die. And, you know, we don't hear about that. We hear about maybe one in a, in, you know, I know we had a horrible drunk driving crash recently.
Last week, yes.
Where a woman and her child were hit by an alleged drunk driver.
Yes, it's like, yes. It's 8 o'clock. She was going for a walk with her child on a stroller.
And she was on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk and was killed by a drunk driver. And it was about 8:30. It was still early.
Yeah.
So we need to be vigilant. We need to spread the message that we as a community are not tolerating drinking and driving. We need to do more and more of that. And the more we speak out, people can use an Uber, people can have a designated driver, people can consume alcohol at home, but we, this city will not tolerate drinking and driving. And so we need to stand up, join our coalition. We have the Circles of San Antonio Community Coalition, and we address this issue of drinking and driving and underage drinking in our community. And we gather once a month and come together and make a way to make our community safer. So they can visit our website at cicada.org or call our phone number 210-225-4741.
And so you have recovery services, drug education, youth prevention services, but recovery services, what do you tell people? I mean, how long does it take? And recovery is possible.
Yes, recovery is possible. So substance use disorders is a disease. It'll be covered by your insurance. A lot of people think it's a, you just have a, you have no willpower or you have no morals. No, once you've consumed for a certain amount of time, it changes your brain. It is a disease. It's treatable and recovery is possible. So our recovery coaches are there to help somebody walk alongside and help them find their recovery. We got to remove the stigma that comes with this disease and that prevents people from getting help. So we are there for individuals. And we, if you just want more information, if you want to get a free recovery coach, give us a call. But sacada.org is our website. And they can receive free recovery support services at no cost to them. But yes, recovery is possible. It is a disease that with recovery, they can obtain it. Now, with diabetes, you're always a diabetic, you know, and you will always need to maintain and health and work out and maybe take medication. But the minute you stop doing those things, even if you're, you know, your diabetes is under control, you can get very sick again. So we tell individuals recovery is the same way. It's a long-term lifetime process and recovery is a maintenance of that for the rest of your life, just like you would with other chronic diseases like diabetes. So if you don't, you know, eat right, work out, take your medication, see your doctor regularly, diabetes can take your life. And so will alcoholism.
And so, but you are with them through the whole recovery process.
Yes, yes. So it's not like, okay, well, I, you know, quit drinking and I'm done. No, recovery is a long-term lifetime journey. And our coaches are there to walk along the way with you.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap up today?
We want people to have a safe fiesta to make good decisions. Please don't provide alcohol to minors. And if you do consume, have a designated driver and have a plan. Stay off the highway and the streets.
How do you prevent, like you're at a party or you're at a fiesta event or a graduation and you can tell, you suspect somebody has had a little too much to drink or they're on something and they're going to leave and they're going to drive. How do you, can you stop them?
You should. Yeah, I believe that we as citizens, I mean, you can't arrest them, but we should let other people know, I'm sorry, you're not in a right state of mind to drive. Can I drive you? Can I call an Uber for you? Can you stay here? Because they may cause someone else's life, not just their own. You care about them, but other people in our community. Just like that young mom that was, you know, 37 or 38 years old and her five-year-old child. There is a dad without a son out there. There is a mom without a daughter. And it was because somebody made the bad decision of drinking and driving and causing someone's life.
And how do you live with that for the rest of your life? It's just tragic.
Yes.
It's tragic.
Public safety. We want people to make good choices. There are ways, like I said, Uber drivers, designated drivers. But usually the person that is highly inebriated and under the influence will think that they can drive, will think that they're fine. And that is a frontal lobe, the decision-making part of their brain that has been hijacked by alcohol. They cannot make that decision. We have to keep them off the roads.
I want to thank you for coming by. Our guest this morning, Abigail Moore, CEO of the San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Awareness. Your website and phone number one more time?
Yes, sacada.org. And the number is 210-225-4741.
Thank you.
Thank you.